and you just multiply it like only you can. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' holy, mighty name. And all God's people say, amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm excited about this. I'm excited about this.
Thank you, Walt. Good morning.
Morning.
How's everybody? So today, I want to talk a little bit about end times. I want to talk a little bit about Jesus' second coming. And I want to talk about how things around the world are happening. We live in such extraordinary times when you look at what's going on around the world. And, you know, I'm like you. I, you know, get busy in my daily life and or your job or raising your kids or, you know, just buying a new house or just, you know, planning a vacation. All of these things that, you know, are just normal everyday life. And every once in a while, I got to look out and look up and see what is going on this earth, this planet, and what's happening. And I truly believe that we will see the second coming very soon. So Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. He was then resurrected and ascended into heaven. And all of humanity has been waiting for his return. So we're going to be in the book of Matthew, if you have your Bible with you, chapter 24, or it's in the notes. The Bible tells us what the conversations in Matthew 24, what the apostle said and what Jesus' response was. So the very basic question is, when are you coming back? So Matthew 24:3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? When will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So they're curious. They want to know. He hasn't even left yet. And they're saying, what's going to happen in the future? What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to the world, right? In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, then they, the apostles, gathered around the Lord and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And if you look back through history, through 2,000 years, the country of Israel did not exist. It was occupied by the Romans. It was occupied by the Arabs. It was occupied by the Palestinians. It was occupied by all Greeks, all these different people. And so what we have here is we have a situation where they're not even a country, and they're asking this question, right? When will you restore Israel? And we know that after World War II in 1948, the Allied powers, which was the United States, Great Britain, France, they said, okay, we're going to give this little strip of land back to the Jews. And so they did. And they gave them Jerusalem, and they have got a big piece of the country. And they've been fighting with the Arabs ever since, because the Arabs said, this is our land. And the Jews said, we were here first. In fact, we were here before there was any people here, really. And so there was no cities. There was nothing going on, really, when the Lord gave this land to us. And then other people moved in, and we had to fight for it. So in verse 7, he says, and the Lord said to them, it is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So Jesus has already died on the cross. He's already been resurrected. He's talked to the apostles. He's met them in the upper room. They were very curious as to what was happening. He did healings. He talked a lot about what was going to happen in the future. And so he's here, and then he is ascended into heaven by the power of the Father. The disciples were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. Then suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. So these two angels are telling the apostles, what are you guys standing around for looking in the sky? He's gone, right? He's coming back, but he's gone for now, right? They're saying that Jesus will return in the same way. He will descend from heaven, and everyone in the world will know that he has come back. Matthew 24:4, Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. So after the past 2,000 years or so, we have seen many, many people that called themselves prophets. They were false prophets. Many people that claimed that they were divine or that they were God. And that's false because there's only one God. So when we look through history and we see Muhammad and we see Islam and we see Hare Krishna and some of the kings and queens around the world would declare themselves as divine. Even the leader of North Korea says that he is divine. And all of this is not true. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus is very exclusive. It's not like you can say, oh, I have Jesus and you have Muhammad. Or I have Jesus and you have Scientology. Those other religions, those other beliefs, those other faiths are wrong. There is only one way, Jesus says, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So Matthew 24:6, you will hear of wars, rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, and the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pangs. And when we look around the world, we see all of the wars, World War I, World War II, the Civil War. What a waste of humanity. What a waste of people's lives going to war and dying this way. And we see in the book of Revelations, we see what's going to happen before Jesus does come back. So we see the infamous four horsemen of the apocalypse is what it is called. And this is from Revelation chapter 6. It's a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. So in that first blank, you can write war. Right? And we are very familiar with war, the ones I've just mentioned, and the one that started this year when the Russians invaded Ukraine. And it is a dirty, bloody, disgusting, sick war that the Russians are putting upon the Ukrainian people. So the first horse came, and out of him was conquest or war. Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given the power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. So the second blank there would be murder. And we see murder on the news every single night. We see these mass shootings at schools, at businesses, at airports, at synagogues. So horrible what's happening across our country, but it's also happening in other countries where just these horrible murders, these horrible people are just like, and then you look at what Russian soldiers are doing to Ukraine, to some of the men, they hang them, they've done very, very evil things. And just for the record, to me, Putin is evil. I don't think he's the Antichrist, but he is very evil. And let's continue. I looked, and before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hands, and I heard what the sound like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages, 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages. Do not damage the oil and the wine. So that third blank there is famine. And we see around the world that people are starting to panic. Why are they panicking? Because of the war in Ukraine. And Ukraine produces average about 25 million tons of grain, of wheat, which is sold all around the world in countries that don't have the capability of farming that way to feed their people. They import it. Well, that wheat is not going to be imported anytime soon because the Russians won't let the Ukrainians harvest it. They won't let them ship it out. And the Russians too are a very large producer of grains, and they haven't been able to ship theirs out either because the Black Sea, where they would ship it out from, is caught up in all of this terrible, terrible war. And we see what's happening with the climate. We see in the mainland, I know that I'm originally from Montana, and on eastern Montana, they have wheat fields that go for miles. You can't even see from here to the horizon, nothing but wheat. But some other countries, more closer to the equator, India, for example, is having a severe drought, and their crops are not growing. And even in the United States, we see the forest fires in the western states, and we see what's going on with all of that. And it is affecting, the lack of water is affecting even the U.S. crop of grains, mostly wheat. And then he says, I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given the power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, plague, and by wild beasts of the earth. And that fourth blank there is death. This angel, this pale angel is bringing death. And when we look at what's going on around the world, and we've had the Black Plague in the past, we've had the 1918 flu, you know, epidemic, which killed millions around the planet. And yet we look here and we have viruses that we are dealing with in the last 2-3 years. COVID, right? It's been horrible. It's been awful. We've had to take all of these precautions. Don't do this. Don't wear a mask. Wash your hands. Use sanitizer. Don't go here. Don't go on a plane. Yes, okay, now you can go on a plane. The rules change every week. You got to be on it if you know what you're allowed and not allowed to do. But the one thing that caught me here, he says that kill by the sword, famine and plague, okay, and by wild beasts. And I'm thinking, wild beasts, what does he mean? Like tigers, like bears? And I think what he's talking about is animals like bats, where COVID has come from and caused this pandemic. So that little bat had a virus, passed it on to a human, the human passed it on to the next human, and before you know, it was around the world, and millions of people have died because of wild beasts, if you will, right? These bats. So let's take a look now again at Matthew 24:30. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and all the people of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming out of the clouds of heaven with power and glory. The Son of Man coming out of the clouds, you think everyone would be happy. You think everyone would be joyful. They would be running around for joy. Here comes Jesus. Here comes our Lord, right? But only those that are believers will be overjoyed. The people that don't know Jesus will be horrified. He's real? You mean he's going to judge my life? He's going to what? Send me to hell for all eternity? All of these things is going to be going through those people's minds. Verse 31, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one of the heavens to the other. So here I want to talk about something that is part of our faith, but I don't think we really understand the timing of it, and it's called the rapture, and that next blank is rapture. And this is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. It says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and the voice of the archangel, which is the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that, we who are still alive and are left to be caught up with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. This is like a get out of jail free card, right? If you are a believer, this is what's going to happen to you, right? We are going to be caught up in the air with the Lord. We are going to be spending eternity with him. So when will this rapture happen? Okay, Matthew 24:32. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and the leaves come out, you'll know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you will know that it is near, right at the door. So we may not know the precise day, the precise timing, the year, maybe even the month, right? But we can see that the Lord is showing us the sign of the times. And when we see the sign of the times, we may not know the specific day or what hour or whatever, but we can see that the season is changing, right? So in the mainland, they have winter, spring, summer, fall. In Hawaii, we just have two seasons, what? The rainy season and the dry season. That's about it, right? Right. But when we see the sign of times and we look at what the world, what we've been able to accomplish, and the creation or recreation, I should say, of the state of Israel in 1948 is a big one, because that was prophesied in the New Testament, and these things must happen, and that was one of them, before the end will come. So, sign of the times. One of the things that we're dealing with right now is our financial systems are in trouble, right? If you have just gone to the gas pump recently, right? We have problems. It's $6 gas. And then the one that really upsets me is $4 spam. $4 for a can of spam? You got to be kidding me. That's like, I mean, that's my go-to breakfast food. I love spam. What? And we see that rents are going up, the price of food is going up. All of these things are affecting us. And they had a study recently that the CNN just put out, and they said the average American family, the cost because of inflation is more than $500 a month. To buy the same things that you used to buy now is going to cost you more, $500 more. And then we see the war with Russia and Ukraine. Thousands have died. But what about the millions of refugees that have crossed over into the surrounding countries, into Poland and some of those other countries? They have all of these people that have fled Ukraine because they're fearful of Putin and his army and the awful atrocities that he's doing, and he's declaring war on them. And then you see in Russia, they have problems because a lot of the elite, doctors, lawyers, teachers, historians, all of these people, they're saying, you know what? We're going to be next. They're going to start persecuting us in Russia. And plus, all of these countries have pulled out all of their businesses. So I'm getting out of here. So they do. They've been leaving Russia in droves. They're all over Europe. Some have even come to the United States. I was looking at this news the other day, and there's a couple on Oahu that fled Russia. And they're Russian, not the spies. I'm not talking about the spies. That's a whole nother sermon. But these people are leaving their homeland because they're afraid of their government, right? So that is one of the things. And then the other thing we see around the world is nuclear weapons. So we have enough nuclear weapons to kill everybody on the planet like five times over. And it has been hanging over us ever since the end of World War II. When is the next bomb going to be dropped? Who's going to drop it? And Putin has already said, I got no problem dropping a bomb on cities in Ukraine. I get no problem dropping a bomb on this, on Paris or London, right? And the thing is when we look at this power that humans have now, it's horrible. If we look at the nuclear weapons that we have, at last count, the United States, Great Britain, France, China, India, Pakistan, Russia, and Israel all have hundreds of nuclear weapons. Some of them are on rockets, some of them are just bombs that can be carried in a suitcase, and all of this to me points to society, our civilization is breaking down, and it's all coming to a head, and Jesus is coming soon. If we look at Iran, Iran has been trying for years now to get a nuclear bomb. They only want one. They're going to drop it on Tel Aviv. They're going to drop it on Israel. And we are going to be caught up in that if we're still here. Climate change. Climate change is causing all kinds of chaos around the world. And it doesn't matter if you don't believe it's caused by fossil fuels or it's caused by the sun or the heat of the planet or whatever. I personally believe it's caused by us burning fossil fuels. And one of the things that I found out was that every day, every morning around the world, over 1 billion cars, trucks start up and they're burning oil, they're burning gas, they're burning diesel. And all of that is going into our atmosphere. And some people may say they don't believe in it, and that's fine. But you cannot deny the problems that we're having with our climate. We have almost 8 billion humans on the planet. When I was born in 1957, there was 2 billion. So in 65 years, here we have, it's 8 billion. And the Earth, I like to say, is full. The oceans and the atmospheres are warming up. They're killing the coral reefs. If you look at Australia, the coral reefs over there, the Great Barrier Reef, half of it is dead already, right? We see more stronger storms, more hurricanes. I lived through, when we lived on Kauai, we were there for the Hurricane Eva IWA. And so, and it was a class one. And when Iniki came later, it was a class four. I wasn't there, but my parents were there. And the destruction is almost uncomprehensible. You see what was a house or a business or even a road, and it's just totally destroyed. And I think that we are going to see more and more and more of these things. So when we see the four angels of the apocalypse, conquest, war, famine, death, they're having a field day. I mean, it is happening all over the world. And yeah, we live in paradise and we're U.S. citizens and that's great, but they can't protect us forever. We are getting dragged into this mess every which way. So I want to talk about when is Jesus coming back, though. So the next blank is the day or the hour is unknown, right? So back to Matthew 24:36. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So nobody knows when Jesus is returning specifically, right? And to me, I see some of these pastors in the mainland and on TV, and to me, it's incredibly arrogant. They would say, oh yeah, okay, the harbinger is this. What's a harbinger? I don't even know. I don't even care because I don't like to listen to them because what they're saying is not true. They don't know. This one pastor I saw, he said that, he goes, I don't know the exact day or the hour, but I can tell you the weekend. Give me a break. And then it passed with nothing happening, and so he has to go back to his calculations. But we who are Christians, we don't need to worry about all of that stuff. We don't need to worry about who the Antichrist is. We don't need to worry about 666. We don't need to worry about, you know, all of the things that are going to happen during the tribulations. Why? Because we're not going to be here. The rapture, yeah, how about that? Thank you. Jesus is going to take us off the planet. And then for 7 years, you're going to have all of these persecutions, all of these tribulations. That's a whole nother sermon. But let's continue. Let's go back and look at Matthew 24. It was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people are eating and drinking, marrying and given to marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. They knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of God. So what they're saying here is they're saying the Lord destroyed the planet one time with huge floods, with all of this water, right? Wiped out, everybody drowned except the people in the ark, right? And so what we have now, they're making a comparison, and they're saying, who's going to be in the ark? We are going to be in the ark. We are going to be with the Lord when all of these 7 years of tribulation comes about. And I've had people ask me, why do we need the 7 years of tribulation? Can't God just snap his fingers and make everything? And he doesn't work that way, right? He works through us. He works with human beings. So during the time of the 7 years of tribulation, it's going to be awful. And hopefully somebody somewhere will pick up a Bible and read it, or pick up a pamphlet and read it, because all of the Christian literature and Christian Bibles will all still be around. It's just the Christians are going to be gone. So when we look at this, and he says that when Jesus comes again, it's just going to be in a similar way, a normal day. People are going to be living their lives. They're going to be planning for the future. They're going to be planting their crops. And then the 7 years of tribulation will happen. And right in between that is the rapture. So these 7 years of tribulation, I just want to say, is where the Lord is going to be working to completely defeat sin and take sin off the planet. It's going to be something where it's going to be a cleansing, if you will. So let's take a good look back at Matthew 24, verse 42. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let the house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So we don't know the day. We don't know what time. But we do know the season, and the season is now. And I would not be surprised at all when the rapture comes. And I'm looking very much forward to it. But we, in the meantime, need to prepare, prepare, prepare. We prepare for things all of our lives, right? We prepare. I was at a wedding yesterday. And by the way, I've never seen a wedding where people laughed and giggled so much. And the groom cried, not the bride. But it was a good time. But what I'm trying to say is that all of these things are just natural for us. We just think they're going to keep going. Think they're going to, you know, am I going to have enough in my 401k? Am I going to be able to afford this new house? All of these things, right? And we prepare. We prepare. We save for the future. We put stuff away for retirement, right? We buy insurance. We buy insurance on our house in case it burns down. We buy insurance on our car in case it gets into an accident and needs to be repaired, right? We send our kids to school. We're preparing them for the future. And we should also prepare for the Lord's return, for the rapture. We should be prepared spiritually. We should be prepared in our faith. And we should be prepared to share the good news of salvation by Jesus Christ. Mark 16:15 says this. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So once you preach the gospel, what happens next? Salvation. Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be saved from this world with the rapture. You shall be saved for all eternity because we will be with the Lord and with God and the angels. And it says here, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is in your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. This is so critical for us. So my challenge to you is, do you have family that don't know Jesus? Do you have coworkers? Do you have friends that don't know Jesus? The time is getting shorter. And there's going to come a time when we're not going to be here. And so now is the time for you to talk to your family, talk to people. I mean, don't hit them over the head with the Bible. I remember before I was a Christian, my sister was like, she was very out there Christian. She still is. She's a good girl. But anyway, I digress. She told me, you better start going to church and you better accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I said, or what? And she says, you're going to go to hell. And I said, you're not going to be in hell? I'll be happy if you're not going to be in hell. How stupid is that? God saw that and said, oh, I got to have mercy on that boy. And so finally, I did get saved, right? But when we see what's happening all around us, we need to be able to share with those that we love, those that we care about, that Jesus is the way, the life, and salvation for all eternity. So here we are, all of us in this room, and I want to do a salvation call. So what I would like you to do is to bow your heads, close your eyes, and everyone repeat after me this very simple prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. I give you my life. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Now, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, if you would just raise your hand and let me know that you are now a Christian and are all set for the rapture. Okay, I see your hand. I see your hand. Okay, good. You can look up here now. It is so important that we share the gospel. And I realize it can be embarrassing. It can be difficult sometimes. And you say, what if they reject me? What if they say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, science is the way and religion is not the way. And let me tell you, God, Jesus created science, right? He is the one that created this whole world. He's the one that gave us the ability to choose life or death, to choose Jesus or to choose ourselves. And it's so very important that we do what we can during the time that we have to share the gospel. As Christians, we have nothing to really fear, because our life here, although it seems long to us, I can't believe I'm 65 years old. My gosh, I just remember graduating from high school. But lives pass so quickly. But eternity is forever. And to be with Jesus forever and ever, with one another, with the angels, with God the Father, with the Holy Spirit, that is our future life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so today is the fifth Sunday of this month, and this happens usually around four times a year. Every quarter, there's a Sunday, a month with five Sundays, and Pastor Scott has designated today as that fifth Sunday, Missions Sunday. So if you would like to give to missions, you can give back there, you can give online, all of the things that they showed earlier. But giving to missions, Pastor Scott and the board has decided that they want to give to specifically to the missions publication department. They put out all kinds of pamphlets, they put out things in Spanish and all different kinds of languages where people can get these things and hand them out to people who don't know Christianity. And it's just a tool for them to maybe break the ice, maybe show somebody, hey, you know, this is my church, this is where I go, this is what I'm about. I'm a follower of Jesus. I believe in Jesus Christ. And so let's just pray for the missionaries and Foursquare Missions Publications, if you bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for our denomination, Foursquare. It is so strong in missions. And today we are taking this special offering that you may use it in Foursquare Publications, that they may put out that pamphlet, put out that handout, put out that that letter, that people will say, hey, I got to look into this. I got to look into this. This is interesting. This is what the world is all about. And then become saved. It's so very important. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor
Thank
Steve.
You.
Hey, so if you're part of the men's ministry, we're going to ask you to, you should be up on stage already. Yeah, you should be up here calling all you men, especially you, Dion, way back there, trying to hide. Come on, guy. Mark, yeah, all of you men.
Yeah, Norman.
Norman, you guys all belong up here. Part of the men's ministry. All right. Hey, so thank you, Pastor Steve. Well, I was so excited to hear that message. And kind of like, you know, like a relief that we're not going to be here when some of these things happen. Yes. But the importance is that we need to let a brother, our sister, our neighbor, our coworker know that there is hope and eternal life in Jesus and only Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Tisha is going to be up here after service. So if anybody needs prayer, you just come forward, see her. She'll be so happy to pray for you. She's right back there, but right after service, she's going to come up front and pray for anybody who needs prayer. So would you stand and join me as we sing?
In the heavenly armor with